Jimmy? That better? Okay, good. So, no, this is not the same illness. I got better early last week, and I got so excited that I went to the gym and overdid it a little bit and got dehydrated and all kinds of other stuff. So, yes, I took all my antibiotics. No, this is not requiring antibiotics. It just requires some self-reflection and sobriety and accepting the fact I just can't do what I used to do. But I could use some healing. So it's actually a very appropriate topic. And I don't feel alone because I'm hearing a lot of coughing and sneezing. And it's like everybody is starting to get something except for the winners. They went through like a month of wheezing and coughing. And now they're the only ones healthy. So it's good to see you. We've been talking about healing, and we understand, especially in the body, around this time of year, we can understand how important healing is. We talked about the fact that our healing has to be something that we're willing to trust God with, that we have to give to Him. And in different ways, not just physically, but it could be anything. It could be financial. It could be emotional. It could be literally anything. We have to give our trust to God and allow Him to be able to heal us. And today I want to look at a story. I'm not actually going to go through a bunch of different scriptures. There's really only one passage I want to look at. And it entails a story that most of us know of. There was this woman who had a bleeding condition, a bleeding woman. But what I want to look at today is what surrounds that story. Because sometimes we go straight to this woman who had this condition, and we are going to look at her, but we can almost forget the healing that took place around her as well. We can kind of forget how much compassion Jesus showed. And the reason why He went about healing the way He did was not only so that these people could get better, but sometimes what matters to us is that we get healed and we can lack the compassion for others. We can really care about getting healed when it's us, but when it's other people and their situation, sometimes we don't have the same compassion that Jesus had. And it's so important that we make sure that we understand that it's a group effort. It's something that we should all, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, then we have to have compassion for others, even when it isn't directly related to us. And we're going to look at what it takes to do that. The title of the sermon is In Due Time. In due time, that's a term that means that something that maybe should come to you and you expect to come to you, that it's going to get there, but it's not necessarily in your time. It's not necessarily when you might expect it. And so I want to look at this. What do you think of when you think of the word compassion? Because Jesus was full of compassion. That's why He went about doing what He did. That's why He went about not only healing and all the miracles that He did, but that's why He went to the cross. And so this compassion that we think of, sometimes in our mind, compassion can take different forms. It can be, you know, in the way that we treat others, the way that we treat people who we love. Sometimes it can be, you know, how we view people who are less fortunate than us. And yet sometimes we can forget that compassion can be more. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet. He pleaded earnestly with Him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. So this guy, and I want to talk a little bit about Jairus so that we can understand who he is. This guy comes up to Jesus, and he says, my daughter's dying. I need you to come with me so that you can heal her. And it's important to understand who Jairus was. It says that he was one of the synagogue leaders. In Capernaum, I believe it was. He was actually the person who was over the synagogue there. And he had this authority. He had this leadership. He had this reputation. And when it mentions here that he was one of the synagogue leaders, it's important to understand that by him saying, I'm placing my faith in you, Jesus, it wasn't just simply, hey, heal my daughter, but it's heal my daughter, do whatever I can. I'm desperate, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter to me that the rest of the people, the rest of the synagogue leaders, the rest of the people who were of status, it doesn't matter that they don't believe in you. It doesn't matter that they don't have faith in you, because I need my daughter to be well. She's dying. We see here that often our healing begins when we're broken. When we're willing to be broken, when we're willing to say, you know, what the world thinks of me, what other people's opinion of me, what my status is, it really doesn't matter. Because at this point, I'm out of all other options, and I'm bringing it to you. And so Jesus agrees to go with him on this journey because, as we've talked about, he has compassion. But it took Jairus to make that first step. He had to put his pride aside. He had to put what society said about Jesus aside. It didn't matter. See, sometimes we want to get healed. Sometimes we want healing to come to a situation, but we still hold back. We're not willing to put it all out there. We don't oftentimes realize that we're at our last opportunity to get that healing. We think, well, you know, maybe I'll just do it halfway. Maybe I'll just, you know, do something a little bit here and a little bit there. I'm not going to put my full faith in Jesus. And then we wonder why it is we don't get completely healed. Interestingly enough, there's this quote I like. It says, compassion is to look beyond our own pain to see the pain of others. And I bring this up because we're getting ready to come to this story. On this way to go to deal with Jairus' daughter who's dying, and this story, actually, if you go back and you look, it takes place, it's actually in two of the other Gospels. It's not just in Mark, it's in Matthew and Luke as well. But what you'll find is, he's going, and it's crowded, and it's taking a long time to get there. It's taking a long time to get there because so many people want Jesus' attention. And you can imagine when your daughter's dying, you know, time is of the essence. But so often, the difficulty we face in our faith is the inability to see other people's pain even beyond our own. And we're going to find out some things about Jairus, but I want to look at a little thing that happened along the way, because here's the thing. It's easy to be compassionate for the little kids, but what about when somebody deserves it? What about when you think, well, this person deserves to be in pain? They did it to themselves. They're not in some third world country where it's not their fault. You know, they're alcoholics or they're drug users or they've abused their body. They've messed up their life. Why should I have compassion for them? Why should they get healed? Do they actually deserve to be healed? Because they messed up. See, what we find is that Jesus' compassion for people who are hurting and need to be healed, it doesn't just go to the people that we deem worthy. It's not just for the people that we consider to be people who should get some compassion. And sometimes we have to check our own hearts and ask ourselves, well, maybe the reason why I'm not being healed myself or my situation is still in the place that it is because I lack the compassion that Jesus had for other people, because maybe I feel like my situation, it rises to the level of Jesus coming to me. Jairus is going, he's thinking, well, I'm a good dude, right? I'm a leader in the synagogue. I fully expect Jesus to come with me. But what about somebody who doesn't, in maybe society's mind, doesn't deserve the healing? They've messed up. They did this to themselves. Do they actually deserve Jesus' healing? Let's look at this story. Continuing in 24, it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. There's a few things we want to pull out of this here. First thing is where he says, daughter. This is one of the few places where Jesus makes that type of reference. And it's not just he's saying daughter here that should just kind of be, brushed by and we just jump over it. But think about where he's going. He's going to be Jairus' daughter. So when he calls this woman daughter, it's not only just a term of endearment and showing that he cares about her the way that somebody would care about their daughter, but he's kind of making a larger point. He's making a larger point that this is somebody else's daughter too. She needs to be healed too. Not only that, but if we go back and we look, we see that this woman who had this bleeding condition says she was in this situation for 12 years. Now that number is going to matter a little more in just a second as we continue reading, but 12 years, you think 12 years of a bleeding condition that's believed to be something similar to, like, there's a, different problems that women can have during their cycles, endometriosis, different things like that, where they have a constant bleeding. It wasn't one of those things where it came and it stopped, but it was a constant situation. And 12 years of this, she literally had given everything that she had and had gotten worse. She had tried everything, and it had gotten worse. Now, the thing about this bleeding condition, it's bad enough that she's in pain. It's bad enough that she can't stop this bleeding. It's bad enough that she's probably dealing with all types of things related to anemia and just being weak. She's probably pale. But she's not even supposed to be in society. See, they had this thing about being unclean, right? They had this thing about being unclean, and you're not supposed to be associating with people if you have blood. You're not supposed to be associated with people. You're supposed to be out and away from society. So in addition to the fact that she can't get healed, she's going to the doctors, it's getting worse instead of better. Now she doesn't have any money left because she spent it all, but he's not even allowed to be associated with the rest of society. She's shunned. And to make matters worse, just to add on to all of that, the attitude that society had back then, the way that people perceived it was that if you have a condition, a disease like this, then it has to be something you did. So therefore, people lacked the compassion for this woman. Even though And, you know, I'm just looking at some of the faces. I know some of the women are looking like, yeah, this is bad. You know, this is bad. You know, you don't have to live long as a woman to know that there are times when it's bad. But here's the thing. This went on for 12 years. I was thinking about 12 years, and I'm thinking it's 2018. What was I doing in 2006? 2006? I don't even know what I was doing 12 years ago. I just remember I was younger. I remember I didn't have any kids, you know. I remember I didn't have the financial burdens and responsibilities. I was living in Atlanta. That was such a long, it feels like almost a lifetime ago. That was such a long time ago. And I can't imagine if in 2006 I started bleeding and I'm still bleeding today. Think about how long that is. And some of you might be able to relate to certain conditions where you suffered, you struggled, you've been in pain for that long. At some point, does it really matter if it's your fault or somebody else's fault or what they did to deserve it? But see, here's the thing. She wasn't even supposed to be close to Jesus. She wasn't even supposed to be in this crowd. And yet she had enough faith to come up behind him. The disciples said, what are you talking about? Literally, everybody surrounding you, touching us, everybody's close, and you're barely getting through, and yet you're asking who touched you. But he says, I know what just happened. I know somebody had to touch me. This woman had amazing faith, and she demonstrated her faith by what she did. When we think about what it means to have faith when you've been tormented by something, when you're shunned from society, when other people think it's your fault. We talked about this earlier today about how when we pray for things and we pray and we ask God for things in faith, but sometimes we feel like, well, do I really deserve it? You know, I'm praying and I'm asking God to help me with my financial situation, but do I really deserve the help? Because I actually created this financial hole. Do I really deserve the help with my kids? After all, I'm the parent. I'm the one who's made the mistake. See, sometimes we forget what real compassion looks like, and that Jesus didn't discriminate, and he didn't say, well, hey, I got to go heal this important person's daughter first. I'll come back to you. No, she walks up on him. She touches him. She tells him what happens, and he says, your faith has healed you. Do we have a faith that can heal us? Faith that is oftentimes considered unreasonable to some people is what's necessary when we have those deep wounds. You know, we talked about how there are certain things that hurt, there are certain things that cause us pain, and then there's that totally different level of pain. You know, that pain that comes from losing someone you love, that pain that comes from divorce, that pain that comes from some type of hurt or abuse, that pain that comes from an actual physical ailment and you just can't get over it. See, it requires that we have faith that doesn't consider what everybody else thinks. That we're not concerned. We're not going to be held back. That woman says, I'm not going to let the fact that I'm not able to be in society stand in my way. I'm not going to let the fact that there's a crowd following Jesus get in the way. I'm going to get to this healing. I'm going to go because I believe if I just touch him, if I just get close enough to touch him, that I'll be healed. When we think about standing and waiting for stuff, you know, 12 years is a long time to wait. Not, you know, so I know there's people who told me, I remember when the iPhone came out a few years ago, there was a new iPhone that came out. People were standing in line, they thought, wow, you know, it felt probably like 12 years because, you know, people got there on Thanksgiving waiting for the Black Friday sales. There's things we're willing to wait for. You know, except this. I have no tolerance for this. This bothers me. This actually annoys me. It says 12 items less. Why are you here with your full cart of groceries? There are lines for you over there. Please go over there and stand in the line with the rest of the people with, you know, $300 worth of groceries. I'm just here for some tape. I just came here for a jug of water. I really don't want, and you know, it always feels good when somebody's willing to say, hey, you know what? You've only got a couple of things. Go ahead and jump in front of me. Don't you just feel good when that happens? But what do you do when you get that person? It's like, well, you know what? Actually, I hear what you're saying, but no, I'm just going to stand here and check out anyway. And I'm going to make you wait, you know? And sometimes if we think about it, we can have that attitude because we can kind of be looking at Jesus and thinking, Jesus, I've been standing in line for a long time. And then this person just rolls up on Jesus and gets healed. And what? I thought we were going to heal my daughter. I thought I was going to get fixed. You know, you're thinking, I pray, I give, I love, I sacrifice. Why is this person receiving healing and I'm not? Why has this person gotten what they asked for and I haven't? And we can almost compare ourselves. We can almost look at what it means to be healed, and we can kind of feel like, well, why is it that this person gets it and I don't? And we can forget that God's timing is perfect, but there's also a reason behind everything that God does in our life. Let's look and finish up here in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Just a quick note here. It says, why bother the teacher anymore? He's saying, you know what? It's too late. There's nothing can be done because we understand that death is final. It's fatal, right? It's over at that point. Just let him go. Nothing can be done. Sometimes we can have that attitude about our situation. Jesus, you took too long. You should have fixed it a long time ago. But I waited and I waited and I waited, and now it's too late. And so why even bother following him anymore? Why even place faith in him? It's too late. Continuing on, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. We see here that Jairus waited and waited and waited. He says, hey, I need your help, Jesus. My daughter is sick. She's 12 years old, and she's going to die if you don't get there. He says, okay, I'll come with you. And then the crowd gets in the way. So Jesus slows down. He doesn't get there particularly fast. Then this other woman cuts in line, grabs his clothes, and she gets healed. All this time, Jairus is waiting. And waiting and waiting to the point that not only did the people say, hey, it's too late, she's dead, send Jesus back on his way. But when Jesus says, no, it's okay, she's not dead, she's just asleep. Remember, I'm Jesus, I can do all things. It says they laughed at him. Sometimes when you're really faithful and you're really waiting to be patient and wait on God, people will laugh at you. People will look at you and think you're crazy. They'll think something's wrong with you because of your faith. But the healing that we're oftentimes waiting for, that healing that hasn't come yet, it requires that we prove our faith with our patience, our willingness to wait for the healing. Because here's the thing, I'm just sitting here with a cold, little sinus issue, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait until it's over. But imagine you're in some real pain physically. Imagine you're really struggling. And for some of us, we don't even have to imagine, because we know what it's like to be in that pain. Some of us are spiritually or emotionally in that pain right now. Some of us are in that place right now. But are you going to be patient, or are you going to get frustrated because Jesus healed somebody else first? Are you going to be patient and wait on that glorious moment when God shows you who he is by healing that situation in your life? Or are you going to be resentful that it took him too long? Is your faith going to be shattered and destroyed? Or are you going to say, I know who my God is and that he's going to come through? And one day I'll look back at this, and just like that bleeding woman, I'll have a story to tell. Are we willing to wait for the story to develop? Are we willing to wait for God to show us who he really is? Are we willing to wait for that healing so that the healing can be done right? Do we lack the compassion for others? Or is it only about us? Is it only about our healing? I want to close with a few questions. Number one, how desperate am I to be healed? Can I be talked out of my faith? Or am I willing to do anything God requires? I ask this question because we see there that this is a situation with two desperate people, with two desperate situations that both desperately needed some healing. And nobody was going to talk them out of it. The bleeding woman wasn't going to get talked out of it for certain. She was going to do whatever she had to do to get to Jesus. Do we have that same spirit and that same attitude about whatever ails us spiritually? Or do we just say, you know what? It's never going to happen for me. It's taking too long. I'll never get better. Or do we allow other people who mock us or laugh at us or say that our faith is unreasonable, do we allow that to deter us from going after that healing? Number two, what part of my walk with God does people's opinion of me interfere with? How do others who doubt affect me? We talked a little bit about this earlier today in Sunday school. Do other people, in their opinion of your faith, does it affect you? Does it bother you? You say, you know what? I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to live this life, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God. And they say, he's not going to give that to you. God's not going to answer that prayer. Does that stop you? Well, if he were going to do it, he would have done it by now. He would have certainly fixed your situation. Does that stop you? Do you feel like other people's opinion interferes with your walk with God? How does it affect your faith? Am I willing to trust God even when what I gave to him appears to be dead? Has waiting on God to heal my pain made my faith stronger and more resolute, or am I more resentful and jaded? And we have to really take some time to think about this, because when we go to God, and as I said, when you pray to God and you ask for things in faith, we have to ask ourselves, does waiting chip away at your faith, or does it strengthen your faith? See, if I know that something's coming, waiting doesn't bother me as much, because I'm certain that it's coming. I know it's on its way. I don't have to be first in line, right? That's okay. You know, I'm not in a rush. You can go ahead and jump in front of me. It doesn't matter, because I know God's coming for me. Is that your attitude? Is that how you feel about whatever it is that's afflicting you? I know God's going to deliver me. Or are you frustrated? Does it take away from your faith? Do you feel like I've been let down because God has taken too long? You think about what Jairus was going through. Jairus is like, I'm the reason you're here in the first place. I'm the one who asked you to come to my house. I'm the reason why all these other people are around you. Where's mine? But when you trust God enough and you have enough faith in him, you're okay with waiting. You're okay with that patience. And it doesn't cause you to be resentful. And finally, do I stand in the way of others being healed because I don't have faith or don't think that they deserve to be healed? This is very important because sometimes, like we talked about last week, sometimes the process doesn't even necessarily have anything to do with us, but we're in the process. Somebody else needs to get healed, but you're in the way. You're crowding. You're wanting to interrupt. You doubt. You scoff at other people's faith. Sometimes when the healing isn't about us, we lack that compassion. That's the reason why I put the pictures up of people who are drug users or people who are alcoholics or people who put themselves in a situation. But see, what happens is Jesus understands that there's more to it than just that that person is in that situation. Just that that person has some self-inflicted wounds. Because when we really get down to it, all of our wounds are self-inflicted on some level. Now, granted, there are certain things we're born into. There are certain things that happen to us that don't necessarily have to do with us. But how we respond to it, because see, if you look at a person, you know, I was showing the picture of the kids. It's like, well, you know, kids, they're innocent, they're loving, and they weren't, you know, they were born into this situation. It's not their fault that their parents couldn't work it out. It's not their fault that they grew up poor. They were kids. But where do you think these damaged, broken people that you see every day come from? They come from broken places. It started in a place that wasn't necessarily even always their fault. What we have to remember is that as Christ's ambassadors, medicine, we're the people who deliver the medicine. We're not necessarily the people, you know, we're not the actual healing that's going to take place, but we bring the person to the healing. Just like Jairus wasn't the one with the issue, it was his daughter. He brought someone that could fix it. But what would happen if Jairus didn't feel like his daughter deserved it? She didn't deserve the healing. She didn't deserve this level of compassion. We have to ask ourselves when it comes, because there are some people, if we're honest, there are some people we feel like, you know what? I don't know that they deserve Jesus. Now, we won't say that out loud. You know, we won't say that to anybody who can hear us, but there are people we think they have lived despicable lives. They brought this on themselves. They've made this mistake. They don't deserve love. Why should I have to wait for them? Why should I have to stand in line behind somebody who's messed up their life? And yet, what we see here with Jesus is there's room for everybody to be healed. But not only do you have to want to, and you have to have the same attitude of Jairus and this woman with the bleeding condition, but you also have to be willing to show compassion like Jesus did. You have to be willing to understand that pain is pain, and everybody has some, and God wants us to be delivered from that pain, but it starts with us being willing to put our faith in him. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you allowed yourself to be able to truly put your faith in Jesus? Are you in a place where you say, you know what, it really doesn't take all that? It doesn't really require that I go through this large crowd to find Jesus. It doesn't really require that I go, because I don't want people to mock me. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want people to think differently of me. How important is it that you get the healing that you need? You're stuck in that sinful situation. How important is it that you get out? That first question I asked, how desperate are you to be healed? If you haven't accepted Jesus, if you've never been baptized, if you've never been forgiven of your sins, if you've never been obedient and follow him, then guess what? Time to pick up the urgency. It's time to understand how desperate it is. Don't walk away from here today without saying, Jesus, I want to be healed. I want to actually have a life that's pleasing to you. I want to be one of your children, and I want to accept the grace that you've given me. As a church, we will pray with one another. We will pray with you. We will help you. We will teach you what that means to actually have a real relationship with God. But how badly do you want? Or do you just want the pain to go away? How badly do you want to be close to God? If you want to know what that relationship with God looks like and means to you, if you want to be in a place where you are sure and you have faith in that one true living God that is going to bring that healing for you, please come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation.